You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
BJSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time, as always on a Thursday, for the double-headed Dream Team. Tonight it's David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, and he's joined by Gary Boyson, who's a portfolio manager at Rand Swiss, also in Johannesburg. Gary, welcome. Actually, I need to address this to both of you with my statement now. I'm in London for the next couple of days, and because I've been there 2 weeks, I'm now allowed to roam free because I'm out of quarantine. Okay, so I thought, what I'm going to do, I need a cable to attach my old iPhone 6 to my new iPhone SE, because the new iPhone SE doesn't have that jack thing at the bottom, that hole that you can plug things in. So I've got to hook the two phones up. Anyway, so I thought I'd go to the Apple store just off Oxford Circus and down Regent Street on the right-hand side. And I saw this queue going around the block, and I thought, well, what's going on? There must be a sale somewhere or someone like that at Ted Baker or Joe Malone or wherever it is. No. I walked to the Apple shop and they said, no, go to the back of the queue, mate. So it was the queue for the Apple store. And I know that they restrict the number of people going in, but if you think that you should be out of Apple or it's too rich, no. Definitely not. Do not sell Apple.
But Lindsay, the phone, this is not the new phone. This has got nothing to do with
it. No, it's got nothing to do with it. It's people just servicing their phone, buying some accessories, ordering the new phone, the 12 or something. It was extraordinary. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't get in the store. I just wanted to buy a cable, for goodness sake. And it's a big store as well. So, Gary, what do you think of that? Are you long of Apple at Rand Swiss?
It's a good question. So we don't hold it in the fund, but I mean, it's a cult. You know, like I'm not an Apple user. I'm Samsung. I prefer open architecture. But I mean, it's something that I mean, we published a note on Apple quite recently, and it's actually amazing because there's a cult following of Apple. But what's the most interesting thing about Apple? It happened about a month ago. They've opened the first online store in India. And that, for me, is what's really going to be able to move the needle. Apple is expensive, but the point is Apple has a very, very limited penetration in India. It only has about 1-2% of the Indian market share. It doesn't have its own store there. It's all sold through Walmart, Flipkart, or through Amazon, and where it's kind of competing on the same platform. But what's going to happen now is, obviously, with them starting to service, and they're doing all sorts of things for the holidays where you're going to be able to engrave Apple products in Hindi and Gujarati and all of that. So I think it's going to be exciting. And if they can get a proper market share in India, I think you can move the needle on Apple. Like I said, we don't hold Apple. We're kind of a little bit heavy in the tech already. And Apple is one of the ones that we didn't think quite made the grade. But looking at that move into India, I think it could be very exciting for the company.
Yeah, interesting point. Anyway, just in an established market that it has, people just love this thing and they will go to the official store rather than the corner shop that can say that, yeah, I've got this cable. I wouldn't go anywhere. I've learned that lesson anywhere else apart from buying the official merchandise, and it's paying off for them. Gentlemen, I was talking to a commentator at the same time last night, and he was terribly, terribly enthusiastic about SA Inc. And he reeled off all the numbers. He was talking about and then the trading updates today and the clicks numbers and all that sort of thing. David, you're a cynic in this regard, but he was bursting out of his skin with enthusiasm.
You know what? I tell you what worries me is that I think we've spoken about this a long time. Shares are down at their bottoms. They're probably not going to go lower than they are at the moment. Simply, they have been sold down so dramatically. The big issue is, yes, expect some kind of bounce from these very low numbers. Simply because the economy is opening up, more people are going to stores, more people are getting out and spending. The question is not whether this is short term, you know, whether you get the short term recovery. It's looking down the line at sustainable growth. Can we maintain that, or are we just going to get back to another level and plod sideways? And I tell you what scared me today, because we have people at our firm as well who follow the same kind of line, very enthusiastic. It's now time to buy SA Inc. And then the Financial Mail came out with their headline story about, are South African banks facing a bad debt crunch?
Yeah.
And when you read the numbers and you actually analyze what's happening here, the number of people that are going to be unemployed, you know, that are never going to get their jobs back, the amount of debt that they already have, you suddenly see a huge burden on the consumer. And you wonder where the drive is going to come to actually reflate our economy and get it going. So I remain very cautious of that. I'm not writing off a bounce, you know, from these very low levels. That can happen. But I think be very careful about the sustainability of any such bounce.
Yeah.
And you have to look at the economy. You know, when Tito comes out and presents his midterm budget and tells you how much debt the economy has got, you know, and how difficult things are, that's real. You know, that's not play stuff. And while companies might do well, I still remain very, very nervous about what lies ahead.
Okay, Gary, do you concur with that? I mean, David is essentially saying, as someone who isn't familiar with the JSC or the balance sheets or the income statements of the companies that have done well in the last couple of days, is that they've hit rock bottom, and even though it bounces, it doesn't mean that the dead cat has been revitalized or is alive again. So it's not such as much a dead cat bounce, but a natural reaction to something that has gone so low it can't go any further down, and we might just bump along the bottom for a while. What do you think?
Yeah, I always like when anyone says it can't go any further down, you've always got to think, well, unless it's 1 cent, it can keep on halving. But if you look at it, I think David's right. I think there is a concern around just the growth potential of our economy. I mean, it's not just the consumers and the businesses going out. I mean, we've also got a real problem with Eskom, and that is going to cap growth. I mean, the point is that if you can't create a stable supply of electricity, we can't see manufacturing picking up here. I think we're going to struggle. But it's not just the underlying kind of malaise that has me a little bit concerned. For me, it's also the catalyst on getting these stocks to re-rate, because there's just so much pessimism around them at the moment. Now, if you look at it, I think, David, you've actually got a great portfolio, which I love you to take us through, which is the takeover portfolio.
Yeah.
But for us, it's the catalyst. It's what is the catalyst that's going to be – there's some great businesses in our small and mid-cap, but like industry, but even at a 5 PE, who is going to come by them enough that you're going to be able to get out at a return? Now, I think the idea of a takeover portfolio where we're going to get people coming in and buying out AFROCs and people coming in buying and taking our stocks private. But for me, that's a very short-term view. It's like we're buying a couple of stocks, and then they're going to be delisted. What's the longer-term future of investing in, let's say, a top 40 ETF?
I'm with you. When I say markets are low and they can't go lower, that's under the circumstances that we're starting to see a little bit of a pickup in the economy. Gary, to be fair, the number, you know, if you said to me, I'm going to restate this. We can invest anywhere in the world. I'm not confined to South Africa. So I can invest anywhere. You mentioned Apple, you mentioned other businesses. So when I look at South Africa, I say, what can I buy here that can fit into my global portfolio? You know, in other words, I don't look at regions. I look at what are the best 20, 25 shares in the world. What shares do I want to own? Are there any South African shares that will make the cut? And I can't find one. I cannot find one. You know, we can say process, Naspers. Yes, that's 10 cents. You know, I'd rather have 10 cents simply on the prospect of operating in China. So that's the question I keep asking myself. And where are we forced to have money here? You know, because we have got some regulation, 28 businesses that we look under, it comes down to a handful of local shares that I hold, which are mainly the offshore internationals. And I keep asking my questions, is it time to buy Clicks? You know, is it time to buy Pick and Pay? You know, and I say, why? You know, yeah, okay, they've done okay. You know, they're picking up there. But is there anything that really give me confidence that this thing is going to motor on and grow and give me, you know, decent returns that I can't match anywhere else in the world? And I can't find it. And if I can, please let me know.
Okay, very good point indeed. Let's go through a couple of the South African companies and other companies that have reported today in various forms. Allied Electronics Corporation Limited. Is that Altron or Altec? Which one is that? Altec. Which one?
Well, they all came into one company. Remember, you used to have about 100 different.
I lost track with these. Anyway, Allied Electronics Corporation Limited. The share price up nearly 20%. These are 6 months' results. So, Gary, over to you on this one. Is it one that you hold first of all before you state your case?
Yeah, it's not one that we hold at the moment. I mean, we've been quite positive on it in the media. I mean, we like the management team. It's been one of the few smaller mid-cap stocks that has delivered a fairly good return. I mean, they're looking at the moment at obviously listing their Bytes business in the UK. I think that's generating a little bit of excitement around the share as well. I mean, the CEO is, kind of ex-Microsoft, very, very well-spoken, has a very clear vision for the company and has clearly led it very well. But I kind of come back to David. If I'm looking at a technology company in that ICT space, it's difficult to justify, plowing money into a JSE-listed company rather than an international tech company. And I mean, we are overweight tech at the moment. But there's no question that it has delivered good returns and it has delivered good results for shareholders and all stakeholders, I suppose.
Clix is another one. David, I want to talk to you because it was two nights ago, in fact, it was Tuesday evening this time, that we said, why is Clix up 7.2%? Here we are. Of course, the results came out today, and they were good, and the market went up a little bit to start with, but I noticed on my delayed screen down 3.3%. I don't know if that's the case after the auction. But anyway.
No, I think a little bit of caution, If you go through the results, I think they're a little bit cautious about the outlook. It seems that sales were slowing down in the latter months of the year and recently. So they don't quite see the kind of pickup that they've seen earlier on. Remember, they never had to close. Yes, there were certain areas of the market that they of their merchandise that they couldn't sell, but they were open and therefore traded through difficult times. It's a very well-run business. I'm not going to criticize it in any way at all. You're paying up for it, but it's a pretty decent result. Nothing to worry about, but I think that, at the price you're paying, they've got to do a lot better, to attract me. But a good, overall a very good business.
On the tech side again, Gary, this is a company I've lost track with completely. I mean, in the old days, it used to be DataTech and Dimension Data.
Yeah.
Dimension Data has fallen by the wayside. No, it hasn't fallen by the wayside by any means, but it's not on the local exchange anymore. DataTech Limited. DataTech down 1.2% today. Gary, you're overweight tech. Is that one of your overweights?
Again, most of our tech sits in the offshore space, but DataTech's an interesting company. And I mean, going through the results, they weren't anything to write home about, but it is still in a sector that should do fairly well with the move towards COVID. I think the problem with DataTech is that it's so diversified. It operates in 50 countries across the globe. It's just so spread out. So when you have an event like COVID where you saw the likes of Microsoft, coming out and saying, net COVID was kind of neutral to slightly beneficial for it because everyone, was working from home and they had to, quickly, pick up their Office 365 suites. Now, DataTech obviously is a company that should benefit from that kind of work from home move. The problem is with how spread out it is the lockdown of economies and just I think the communication between different countries made it very, very difficult. The company they took a little bit of a hit on the Forex as well. But overall, okay, it's not one that we hold, but it didn't look terrible. But I hope it gets a little bit better in future.
I have to laugh about this one because this is of the class of 1987,
1987, 88.
When
is it Jens Monsonano, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's it.
And in how many in over 30 years on the market in the IT space, they have a market value of 4.5 billion rand, which is nothing.
In other words, it's an underachiever. Is that what you're saying? An underachiever.
Because I think to a large extent they've been box droppers. They just pass on, other people's hardware or whatever they do. I've always watched them from the side and say when they're going to do something big. They've been around at it for so long, but I think there's nothing that enthuses me. At the same time, sorry, you were talking about Eltron. Eltron as well. They're a good business, but they're also box droppers. What they do is they sell Microsoft products. So, if you want to install Azure, which is their cloud system, Microsoft Azure, you call in Eltron and they'll help you sort it out and maybe write some proprietary software around it. But there's nothing that they do that is really going to set the world alight. They're just a good services business. And I think this is what
Gary and I, or certainly I feel, there's nothing there that attracts me. I would rather go direct for Microsoft, who actually do the software, you know, who actually own the cloud and so on.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. And again on Tuesday night, David, at 5 o'clock, Distill came out with an operational update, a trading update anyway, and they came out with some very, very juicy adjectives and said this and this, and you were slightly cynical about it.
I am.
Share price was up yesterday, and it's up again today to the tune of 5.5%. Another one, Cartrack Holdings, further cautionary announcement. This is one that went shooting up to 47 Rand a share, back down to 40, and I'm rounding up and down here. It's now back at 45 today, up 7.1% after a further cautionary announcement. Another South African company doing very well, particularly in the United States. Distill, of course, a South African company. And here's another South African company. I don't know if there's anything. I know fishy is the wrong word, but there's some coincidences here. Impact Limited, 15.5% up today. And it was, what was it, a few days ago when they said they're going to buy back their shares. That's fair enough. And they were very transparent about it. And then this morning, Alan Gray has taken its stake to Gary, what, above 20%, I think
20%,
it is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then suddenly it goes up again. Do the two things gel? You know, we're buying back our shares and suddenly, apparently, Alan Gray has been accumulating this stake? I don't know. I'm probably making something out of nothing.
Gary, that's in my takeover portfolio. And my takeover portfolio, I just said, what are the worst stocks? Which are companies that have had pretty decent companies but have been absolutely shattered in that? It was a tongue-in-cheek portfolio. You know, I didn't really put money behind it, so it's just a hypothetical example. But, I mean, impact is there. And I just saw it as a company that's been bombed down that was bound to kind of attract. So this fits into my thesis that someone's going to come and take it over and look at it and say, hold on, here's value. And Alan Gray has done impact, you know. So that, you know, just falls into what we expected to happen. But once more, this is long term. You know, you really need a turnaround in the economy for this to really justify or get back to where it was, with huge demand for products. You know, they do a lot of farming products. They do, I think, a lot of plastic products as well. And you need a major gain in the economy to really get these kind of companies going.
All right, but I think just to your point as well, Lindsay, though, like, you know, we look at kind of those small and mid-cap companies, and it's easy to look at the SENS announcements and think, oh, maybe there was insider trading. But
I didn't say that. It just seems that the announcements were very close to each other.
Coincidental. But let me put it this way. You know, when they are even announcements like this, I mean, the fact is that the volume is just so low at the moment. Mm-hmm. So if I look at Impact at the moment, I mean, yeah, sure, up 15%, but it's only traded 65,000 shares for the day at just over 10 Rand share price. I mean, you're talking about less than a million Rands worth of volume, which, I mean, if you're thinking about from an international client point of view, you reduce that to dollars and pounds. I mean, this is one big order. It's pushing it around.
A small order, actually, in certain stocks. Yeah, I know. A point very well made, Gary.
I'm waiting for Amazon's, like, one Amazon share to be worth more than the daily volume.
Do you know, Gary, there's a very... some chaps and Lindsay, this is important. Some chaps came to me, you know, and everybody develops these trading programs that use all kinds of algorithms, and they're beating the all share index, etc. The only problem is that when they beta test them, they're doing it with their bar mitzvah money, you know, which is probably about 10,000 Rand or something like this. And they're able to go in and buy Impact and so on. The problem is that as you scale these up, suddenly, you know, those programs, you can't find the stock and the doubles increase. So, you know, as you're saying, and as Gary points out, you know, it's all very well that these shares can jump 10 to 15%. And obviously some youngster found out that Alan Gray has bought them and said, okay, well, I'm going to grab, you know, get on the bandwagon and buys a few hundred shares and pushes the shares up 10, 15%. You know, that happens, but if you get serious players coming in, it's very, very difficult to actually accumulate large chunks other than in a very slow and tedious way.
Very good.
But be careful. Be very, very careful of these kind of movements.
Yeah, and any movements on the JSE at the moment on certain stocks are being exaggerated by this pathetically low volume, although we did go above 17 billion yesterday, which was higher than the previous day's 15.2 or something. But anyway, the point is that, yeah, that's, again, a point well made. You two are making fantastic points today. Okay. Really on form.
Just one thing on volumes.
Here we go.
Just interesting. Lindsay, which...
Yes.
Before we came on air, I took out the volumes on the JSE, which I always do, and then I see what happens during the closing trade. And it was quite odd because at 10 to 5, this is going into the closing auction, the volume on the market was only about 16.5 billion.
Right.
And it's now closed off at 22 billion. But on that 16 billion, gold, GLD, which is the gold ETF, was the biggest trader. It traded 1.375. What's interesting now, after the auction, it still remains at 1.375. But of course, we always get the nice burst trades, you know, massive trades, which are almost doubled. You get almost double the volume of nice burst in the closing trade, and they still ended up as the bigger trader as at 1.8. But it's interesting to see that we did get massive volumes in the gold index today, in that gold ETF. Making up almost 6% of the market today.
Okay. Again, one
Gary,
to,
I don't
one
know whether
watch.
They were being sold because it came down quite a lot. You know, came down quite a lot with gold shares. So.
I thought maybe you were going for that angle. certainly, our gold price has been coming down. I didn't see GLD trading as aggressively. I'll go and definitely have a look at that. But very interesting. Maybe guys are taking some margin calls. have to liquidate some gold positions to go and pay the margin calls on some of the international longs.
We'll come to gold in a second. Because I'm going to start with the spot prices and start with currencies. Okay, 16.22 is the dollar rand. Someone's buying the rand. Someone is buying a lot of rands as well, because this was 16.55 2-3 days ago. This is quite a big move, and it's not all dollar weakness either. British pound against the rand is 21.23. Euro rand is 19.17. Euro dollar 118.23. So the dollar is marginally stronger today, and the rand is 1.5% stronger. So there's some money coming in for something. We'll probably find out about it one day. The gold price, because of the slightly stronger dollar, has dipped back below 1900. It was 1915 at 6 o'clock this morning. Now 1898. The platinum price is $878, is up $10. I don't know if you've got palladium there, Gary. That's what I normally ask Nick Kunzer. Have you got a handy palladium price?
I don't have it handy.
Have you got it handy, David?
I had 2370, I had around about 2370, which was down about 1.75%. I don't know how current that was. That was about a half an hour ago.
That's current enough. West Texas crude is up 2.25% after a bit of a mauling yesterday. It's currently back above $40 with a vengeance, $40.94. $42.72 is the prevailing Brent crude oil price, which is up 2.4%. Now, who's got the livest numbers for Wall Street? Because I think we're all cheapskates and we only have delayed screens. David, I can give you the S&P futures. S&P futures are flat, and NASDAQ futures are down 0.75%. Okay, give us the delayed spot prices.
So at the moment, I've got the S&P up 0.09% at 3438.
That's flat.
And the NASDAQ at 11456, which is down 0.25%. Anything else? I haven't got the Dow.
No, obviously a divergence of performances here, because the S&P being flat and the NASDAQ down 0.75%, certainly on the futures market. Now what we've got to do is have a look at the big ups and downs on the JSE, and this is my screen. It's although it's 50, these are live prices now, or rather closing prices. Right at the top of the board, nearly 19% higher, Altron. Spoken about that. We spoke about Cartrack, up 7.1%. Truworth, 6.4% higher. TFG, up 5.75%. And Woolies, up 5.6%. Who wants to talk about the clothing retailer, and Woolies?
Whoever your was on last night, your guest last night, who is so... enthralled with SAE,
really
is buying the shares. It's actually spread. You know, everybody's talking to everybody else, and I'm sure that the institutions are coming and saying, you know, you've got to buy SA Inc. And that's why you're getting these kind of movements, you see.
It's the power of this
We've even
podcast.
Got higher prop. Hyprop up 9.5%, you know, which is Fortress up 9%. So there's a belief that these property companies are a bit low as well.
Yeah, so it's, and I mean, you can see it's in the currency as well. So I'm sure some of it's reacting just to the firmer currency, helping to revalue some of that in dollar terms. But maybe for a change, we've got some foreigners coming in. We'll see on the foreign flows report soon. Maybe they're looking at us and saying, wait, Africa's a little bit too cheap. We're seeing a weakening dollar. Let's go buy some emerging markets and come
in. Gary, it's interesting. It can be that because I've just got the mark to market on the bonds, and there's no suggestion there. You know, I always look to see what the yield to maturities are on you know across the yield curve, and if anything, it looks intact. You know, with very little. If my reading's right, I think rates have picked up slightly rather than down, which is a negative sign. You know, it doesn't show buying, so it could be that money has flowed into EM funds.
Okay.
You know, on the equity side, yeah.
Definitely. On the downside, Capital & Counties down nearly 11%, Goldfields down nearly 9%, DRD Gold down 7.7%. Talking about the gold coming down, David, quite right. Harmony down nearly 7%, Anglo Gold Ashanti down 6.5%. We didn't talk about the Anglo-American stable. They came out with their production reports. PLC came out with its numbers, as did Anglo Platinum, as did Kumba Iron Ore. Not much there. And it's just too much to analyse for a short podcast like this. Anyway, the share price is down mainly probably in South Africa anyway because of the stronger rand. Now I'm going to ask one of you two to go through the major indices. And Gary, I normally go to you. You probably have to press a few buttons to do that. So David and I will talk amongst ourselves while you do it.
I've got the map. Where would you like to start?
Let's start with, as we're talking about Anglo-American, let's start with resources, please.
You want resources? Sorry, I'm in major indexes. You guys can carry on talking.
Is resources not a major index anymore? Okay.
No.
David, if you want to diversified miner, what would you go for? Would it be BHP Billiton? Would it be Anglo-American PLC? Or would it be one that's not listed in South Africa?
No, I'd go for BHP. But remember I was talking about, once we're talking about that, and I've got to digress, we were talking about African Rainbow Minerals.
Oh, yes,
and I couldn't understand why over the last month this has broken away from all the other diversified
miners.
Have
you found out why?
It's just, well, apparently the talk is that it's going to be included in the top 40, which makes sense because it's improved a lot while others haven't. Or it might be included in some other African or South African MSCI index simply because it's the only diversified miner that actually earns money in South Africa. All the others are outside of South Africa. So I don't know. There's obviously some news around that. That was just whispers, but I think it's been in a total outperformer in the last month, completely compared with the others, but I like BHP.
Yeah, that seems to be everybody's choice. Okay, Gary, how are you doing with those indices?
Yeah, ready for the indices. Where are we going to start?
Let's start with the resources and then go to gold, so as we're on that subject.
Okay, let's have a look. Yeah, so the resource paying down almost 3.99%, or at least 2.99% to 52,819. Yeah, so I'm just going to go through the major ones quickly. So financial index, which is the J212, that's had a stellar day. And I mean, again, that's probably the stronger rand, up 2.34% for the day to 10376. We've got the Industrial 25, which is the J211. That's down around 0.6% to 74131. Top 40 J200 down 1.23% to 50,277, with the All Share Index, which is the J203, down just a touch under 1% at 54,796.
Gold mining shares down 7.2%, platinum's down 3.6%. I just wondered, because of those, the Woolies, TFG, and Truist story, what did the retailers do? I never know which index to look at on my screen here. I mean, for such a small exchange, there's dozens and dozens of these indices and products. Where did the retailer? General Retailers Index up 3.5%. Is that the one I should be looking at?
Could be. I've got a General Industrials Index, which is up 2.68%, which embraces all of those as well. Yeah. My Consumer Goods Index, strangely enough, is down 1.3%. So I don't know what would have taken that down, but generally industrials were pretty strong. That embodies you know, most of the smaller industrials.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting couple of days for South Africa on thin volume, although, as you said, as David, you said, 22 billion, it's pretty good. It's the first time we've gone above 20 billion for over a week, I think it is. Gentlemen, thanks so much for your time. That was David Shapiro from the award-winning Sasfin Securities, and he was accompanied by the award-winning RAND Swiss portfolio manager, Gary Boyson, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.